Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey everyone, I'm Maggie McGrath, a staff writer at Forbes magazine and your new host for a show called Forbes on Trump.
Politicians are all talk, no action.
I'll be speaking with the editors and writers who are reporting on the 45th president. We'll hear what they're finding out about his wealth, his business associates, and the ways in which he and his policies are affecting the economy, consumers, and all aspects of the business world.
Somebody has to come out and tell it like it is.
Along the way, we'll dive into Forbes archives, which contain decades of information that will add context to the current White House administration.
So listen to this. Listen to this.
That's Forbes on Trump on Podcast One.
Subscribe now at iTunes, and don't forget to rate, review, and share.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Modern Family's Eric Stone Street, with Gina Grant on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and Lynette stops by to talk about the Carolla Drinks After Show. And now, quick piece of TV trivia. Cam and Mitch from Modern Family are based on Adam and Kimmel's relationship. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. A choice to get on, man. Hey, get on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for all you do. Good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
And by the way, you know what I hate? Radio and podcast, dick. And your fucking cars are gay, too.
Special request from Lynette Carolla.
Yeah, Lynette Carolla in studio.
You. She came in for the show and asked me to play that.
That's great.
It's my favorite of all time.
Lynette's got a little thing going on, which is Build Stuff Live after show, the Carolla Drinks after show, and that's live at 8 p.m. on my Facebook. That's right after we do our show at 7 o'clock. She does her stuff live. Tell us about it, Lynette.
Well, we decided to do an after show because why not? We have the studio. We have the equipment. And we decided to do an after show starting with your show on Spike. So we basically we break down what we just watched. We all gather here with the kids and Olga and the lackeys, and we watch the show live here, and Phil, and then we come in here, and Jay Joe is my co-host along with the other lackeys, and we talk about what we just watched, and then
that's a good time.
Yeah, we play clips from the show. We play clips from Kimmel this week, and we're doing a game next week with. We're doing an Olga versus Jay. Who knows Adam best? Because Jay was Adam's assistant.
That's going to go deep.
I'm going with Olga.
I don't know, man. Jay's
yeah.
He's seen things.
He's sharp. Yeah, and that kind of stuff. So just little stuff.
Now, it's the Carolla Drinks after show. So
yes.
Is there drinking involved?
We do have a drinking game involved. Oh. Yeah. We encourage people at home to get their Mangry and their Endless Rant out, fill it up. And
nice.
Follow along, yeah. And we answer questions. Hi, Adam. You're looking nice.
Today. Thank you. I'm going
to the
track.
It's a lovely tracksuit. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm in getting changed. I'm getting in a fire suit later on today. So me and Sonny are going to Willow Springs. You and Natalia are going to Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when you hear this show, it's Monday. Right now, kids have a half day. They go right into spring break, right?
Yes.
So you're going to pick up Natalia and head.
She planned it, not me.
Boy, did we have me and Olga had a funny conversation yesterday, which is Sonny and Natalia don't really fight much. And the reason they don't really fight much is because Natalia is a weaponized handball that's being fired from a t-shirt cannon, and Sonny is a velvety drape that is just hung, and it doesn't
swing back. Yeah.
Doesn't bounce back.
Right.
Doesn't bounce back. But she will get into it with Lynette. She will get into it with Olga, and she will get into it if we were imagining a sister. What if she had a sister? Could you imagine the epic battles that would be taking place on a nightly basis?
A twin sister.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, apocalyptic.
You can't get in a fight with Sonny. It's like getting a fight with a waffle iron. It just sits there.
It's true.
It just sits there.
It's true.
He just sits there, and you don't fight with him.
Yeah, no, I've told her she's lucky that she has a brother that, first of all, he doesn't care to take any of her stuff, including her makeup, her clothes. Instead, she comes to my closet, takes my stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, she's lucky that he doesn't fight back. He's not a fighter. He's
epic
a lover.
Fail.
Epic fail.
Yeah, and it's not that he's weak. He just has
it
deemed it a waste of his time very early on.
And he's weak. Yeah, it's a combination.
He does not want to talk or do things that are just so many people seem way more than happy to waste huge chunks of their life about. Either an argument or Cecil the Lion or like whatever the fuck it is, they just have huge patches
huge
of their
reserves.
Life that they're going to give away. And I'm thinking, I don't want to even wait at the red turn arrow. I don't want to wait. Why is that? Why do I want to be laying on my deathbed looking at the red turn arrow? I'm not going with that. I went through a red light yesterday, just regular red light, just no cars. Ooh. Fuck
not
it.
Not the Adam I know.
Lynette, tell everyone how many of those arrows I go through.
Oh, of course. All the time.
Well,
every time.
Those are gateway arrows because now he's going through red lights.
Yes. Well, look.
Oh,
everyone.
He does go through red. Yeah, he's chasing. Yes, you're going through red lights now.
Look around. If there's no cops, then just fucking do it.
You got to get your fix.
Just do it. Just somebody tweeted me the other day. Pennsylvania has a thing now, which is you don't have to wait at the red arrows if there's no cars.
Oh, smart.
Right. What number are they in traffic?
Yeah. Fans of this show.
Okay. So, Sonny and me are going to the track. Lynette and Natalia are heading to the beach for a vacation. Do you think Natalia can be nice? I told her be nice.
I heard you say that, and I appreciate that.
In what way?
He said, don't give mommy a hard time.
Don't give her a hard time.
Epic fail. She's a grinder.
Yeah.
She's a grinder. And Lynette's like, when you get these newfangled composite wood floors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As opposed to the old solid oak floors.
Right, sure.
They go, hey, you can only refinish these once or twice because you're going to get through the plywood.
Right.
They're only so deep.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Sonny's just a chunk of oak. You can never get to the bottom, his veneer. Natalia, Lynette, you sand on her for a little while.
A little wear and tear.
Then you're going to start seeing some ply.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what that Natalia's a sander, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. She's a grinder.
So
yes.
What fun activities do you have planned for this weekend?
whatever. Well, I'm taking her and her little friend. And her friend is very sweet and docile. And she kind of diffuses. And she keeps Natalia basically in check, which is nice. So actually, I'm looking forward to it because I think... The two of them, she's a little like Sonny, so I think, and Natalia worships her, so she will keep her, you know, she does the thing where Natalia will say, Mom, can I buy a stuffed animal? Can I get another one? And she'll say, no, Natalia, don't ask your mom. She already said no once.
It's like she has a sober coach with
her.
It's like the angel on her shoulder.
Yes.
Conscience.
Yes. Thank God. No, she has good taste, right? She has good taste in friends.
Her friends are great.
Yeah.
Problem is, they kind of ruin you. You go, why isn't she my
No. Pretty grown.
She's straight
A's. She's pretty great.
Says she's not mature enough for a cell phone.
Yeah.
Wow.
The best example we ever saw of this on tape was the quote-unquote fight with Natalia and Sonny, with Sonny going, I didn't do anything. And Natalia going, just say you're sorry.
Yeah.
Well, if any, you know, before you have kids, you buy into all this bullshit about, hey, you got to get them early and you got to expose them to this and then you got to give them that and you got to bring this out in them and tamp that down in them. And then you have twins and you realize they're totally different and that's how they started and that's they'll take it to the grave. I'm very sure of this. They're the most different on the planet and there's nothing that we did to foster one or the other in either one of them. They're just simply who they are.
Yeah.
Yes?
And, yes.
And bucking some like cliched, like gender cliches, like, oh, Natalia's very quiet and she doesn't want to make, you know, too much of a noise.
Right.
And Sonny is this
the
bulldozer.
Boys, yeah.
So you don't know who they're going to be.
No.
No, she's the daredevil. Give us, please, Lynette, the quote of Sonny when you asked him to participate with you in yoga.
No.
Epic fail.
Epic.
She went to the other room and said, let's do some yoga together. And Sonny announced after 5 minutes of yoga.
I don't feel safe.
Oh, that's right.
Well, because he was balancing, I had it. I had a little laptop and the YouTube yoga lady was like, okay, now balance on one. Get your balance, use your core, you know, one of those things. And I said, come on, Sonny. And he couldn't do it. So he's like, you know, I don't, this is not safe. I don't feel safe. I feel like I could fall.
I said to him later, yoga's too dangerous for you? He said, I didn't say that. I said, I didn't feel safe.
Yeah.
Emotionally.
Did you tell them what he said about your song that you played for him?
Oh, no, I did not.
Okay.
I did not.
Well,
but
save
he's,
it for another
he's got good insight.
Yeah.
He's very smart. And the thing about Sonny is
he's a lot like Adam. He really is. He's very practical.
Spawn.
You know what he said to me? He said, this is terrible, but he said, this was about a year ago, and we were at basketball practice, and all the moms were there, and it was in the middle of the day, and the moms were standing around, and I think they were embarrassing the boys a little bit. And he came home, and he said, you know, Mom, I'm really thankful that you work. I said, why? He says, because these other moms, I'm looking at them going, do they have anything else to do but stand around and like goof on us and embarrass us at basketball?
Insightful.
Like, wow, don't say that out loud. It's very misogynist.
I was in a van, an unmarked van, a street. He had his earpiece in. I was like, oh, how about these yentas that just stand around all day, huh?
How about these yentas, Mom?
Surely they have better places to go.
Surely they have better places to go.
You know, it'd be awesome.
You know, it'd be awesome.
Oh, I'm in the mood for goulash tonight.
How about some gulag?
Goulash.
Goulash. Am I being a gulag tonight?
I'm going for goulash and no kettle.
A goulash with no kettle.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know what? I can taste already a cucumber salad with paprika. Should I say paprika?
Should I say paprika?
Mom? Don't answer.
Who are you talking to? Mom,
the coaches give me some signals of what play to put in. We're still at practice, by the way. How about some, what was it again? Cucumber salad.
I
think it's paprika.
What's the matter with you, Sonny?
Is it paprika?
Who are you talking to?
Yeah. Hey, I'm going in and out. Do you want a double-double? Oh, shit. Don't say anything. Don't say yes.
Can I signal you?
I can see you. Oh. Nod your head.
Yes. Yes.
No, don't talk.
Yes.
Meet me in the van.
Meet me in the van. So, all right. So, yes, true or false? True or false, Lynette?
Yes.
True or false? By the way, you can go to... Corolla Drinks and do the after show. That's live at 8 p.m. on my Facebook on Tuesday nights after,
after the show.
I built
we have
stuff
a coupon
live.
Code this week, Sexboat.
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 Go to CorollaDrinks.com. Use coupon code Sexboat.
That's Jimmy's favorite movie and my favorite movie.
That was going to be my question for Olga and Jay. The name of Adam's favorite.
Oh, I wouldn't burn Olga with this. No, that kind of stuff.
Second favorite. Go Taboo 2.
Okay. No, that was one of those things where a month after I met Jimmy, it's like I said Sexboat or something. He's like, that's the movie that Cleto's dad owned. Like it was back when somebody's dad would have to have a porno movie. For me, it was one of my friends' dads had it. Not my stupid dad, but no. Can you picture my dad having an X-rated, or even a Playboy?
Oh, God, no.
Let it. My dad.
Oh, boy.
What is it? Nothing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hell, yeah.
Is this nothing?
What, hello? Nothing. No, he comes over, you offer him something to drink, you offer him a water, no, nothing. He doesn't.
He just sits there.
Low
pulse.
Yes, he zones out a little bit, but then he asks you a few questions, and then he zones back out again.
Does he play with the kids, like get on the floor and wrestle around?
No, and say get on the floor.
He's nice.
He's nice, yeah. He says, oh, that's, you know, if they say something, show him something.
Very
says,
nice.
Yeah, that's, there you go.
Human being, adult heterosexual male, less into cars and or building than my dad. Does that person exist?
No.
Yeah, hello?
Is there anyone on the planet that is less into those two subjects than my dad?
No. But was that your true and false you were going to ask
me
earlier?
True or false, my mom.
Oh, boy.
Let's just say false.
Her Oscar analysis.
I think we got everybody covered now. Sonny, Natalia.
Her Oscar analysis.
Oh, no. Did you talk? Oh, yeah. Well, she came over on Oscar the day after.
A couple days.
A couple days later, and she sat there, and she said, So, so-and-so saw a picture of Adam and I on Facebook at the Oscars. Did you go? She said. And Adam said, yeah, we went.
Well, that was my stepdad who follows that stuff.
He said
she
that.
Yes.
And then she said...
No, she said, I said I was working there and Lynette was in the audience. So that's their. That's as much as they got.
And I said, did you watch? Did you watch the show? I wanted to hear what she had to say. I said, did you watch the show? And she said, oh, yeah, I was... It was okay. I was in and out. She said it was.
You said, Adam, what did you think of the show? And she said, what?
Then
she said, what did you think of the show? And she went, it's okay.
Yeah, she gave it a beat. She looked like she was caught off guard when I asked her about it. She did. It was very
You put her
weird.
On her heels.
Oh. Yeah, she looked worried.
The tough questions.
Yeah, she did say, huh? And then, did you like it? What'd you think? And she said,
Epic fail. So it was okay. And did she ever bring it up again?
Nope.
That was all talked about our old neighbors and then cheese. We had a lot of cheese.
Oh, she talked a lot about the cheese. Yeah,
we didn't talk muffins. It's muffin centric. This time it was a cheese related conversation.
Oh, okay. Well,
it was the afternoon.
Percentage wise, Oscar talk to Trader Joe's cheese offerings.
Oscar would be about 20%.
Oh, man.
Well, that high. Versus the cheese?
I guess. I'm not good with numbers. Cheese is way high.
Oscar talk was 7 seconds.
Well, yeah.
So it was less. I'd say
7%.
Less than. Okay, there you go.
Well, in her defense.
You are bad at math.
You said you were working. Maybe she thought you were passing out, pamphlets or taking tickets.
Yeah.
The weird thing is that she didn't even ask about Jimmy, and Adam and Jimmy are they're best friends, or she knows Jimmy. It's not like he's dead.
Well, we got a reason for that too, though, right?
What? I don't,
because he's associated with Adam, so now his name must never be spoken.
Yeah, that's like
the John Stewart story. That is my favorite. She's getting that one at the eulogy.
Oh, my God.
How pumped was she about John Stewart when she walked into the house?
Yes, came in with her VHS tape and said, have you heard of this guy? I taped him. He was on Oprah. He's very witty. He's very funny. We got to watch it. His name's John Stewart. And Adam said, oh, yeah, I know John Stewart. He's a friend. And I said, oh, yeah, they have the same agent. Yeah, Adam, and we've been to dinner with John Stewart. Oh. Left it in the kitchen. We moved to the TV room.
She said he's hit and
miss.
Moved
to the TV room, sat there for the rest of the day, and went in and out of the kitchen, passed it on the counter, left it behind.
Seriously, I like that detail. She almost immediately dropped the cassette. To make it pass where she was standing.
I know.
But his name has come up dozens of times since then.
Never again.
Dead.
Dead to her.
Dead. And he went on and hosted the Oscars a few years later.
Oh, wow.
Come
dead.
Never his name. She went from more pumped up about a comedian than I've ever heard anyone in my life to whose name had never been spoken again.
Yeah, it was weird.
Do you think in some way your success has shamed your parents?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Epic
and maybe
fail.
That's why they.
A little bit.
I don't know. I would agree with Dawson. But
they were like that before.
It's Dawson's idea.
Okay.
And
strike one and two.
No.
Dare you.
No. I would say yes, because what we're trying to do is make sense of something that doesn't make sense. So we're like a bunch of people staring at the Twin Towers on fire going, why would somebody do this? It's like there's that kind of evil
paradigm
in the world.
Shift,
No. Yes, except for here's the problem. They were this way my entire life. I had zero success from 0 to 30, and they were still this way.
Same interest level.
So when I was dirt poor and had no insurance and driving a truck or playing football or doing whatever I was doing, they were the same then. They haven't changed.
Yeah, they didn't have a picture of Adam in their house when I went. I mean, I'm come from an Italian family, and he's half Italian. I'm figuring, his family's going to be kind of like
welcome to the family, kiss on the cheek.
Yeah, no abundanza, nothing. And then I went over to his house, and there his parents, both parents, grandparents, all three households, no picture of when Adam was a kid or Adam at all. But even like I was like, can I see a baby picture of you? Nothing. Nothing.
Yeah.
Weird.
Very sad.
Very that's Mayor of the so... Sunset Strip esque.
Yeah, yeah, me and Ronnie Bingenheimer.
Dig out the pictures.
that's
such a great scene.
Oh, that's such a great scene. Like, oh, they're around here. Let me just go get them. Like,
because there's pictures all over the house of other people.
I know.
Where's the picture of Rodney?
There was pictures. Yeah. It's the exact same scene.
They got to dig out the photo albums.
There was like 50 pictures of stepsisters and grandkids. And yeah, it's awesome. Wow. I don't know.
But now you have us, Adam.
Now we have us.
Yes.
Now we have
Olga,
us.
You have me. Oh, yeah. Kids.
Olga.
You have Phil.
Yeah. I like Olga because she's paid to listen to me.
Yeah.
No, Olga loves you.
I know,
she does.
But
she doesn't take any guff either.
She has to listen. No, she doesn't take any guff.
Mm-mm.
And not only is she not taking any guff from the kids, but Phil's scared shitless of her as well.
She's run that household.
He does whatever he wants all the time until Olga gives the whistle, and then he stops and starts looking over his shoulder.
She talks Spanish to him. Felipe. Wow. Felipe. Que es eso? Que es eso?
Well, she's not adverse to a swift front ball kick to the ribs of, because that's the way she rolls.
Yeah.
And I don't mind it.
He's not afraid of her, though. That's
No, he's fine with her. But
it's a healthy respect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things where you do realize he could do the right thing.
Right.
He chooses to ignore us. So it's off to the beach.
Yes.
I'm off to the track, and then Phil's going with Rob.
Yeah, we'll have stuff to talk to you about off air, because Sonny got invited to the Clippers game tomorrow.
Fun.
Yeah, we got to figure that out.
I'm thinking of not telling him and just taking him. Oh, what?
Sorry.
That's you, right?
Sorry. They were going to talk about it at school. The kids were going to bring it up, and then he's going to feel like,
Now he wants to go to the Clipper game?
Yeah. But he could spend the night. He could spend the night. No, he can't spend the night Saturday night. Sorry, we'll talk about it.
It's a 12:30 game. They're playing the Jazz.
Yeah.
That
sucks.
Oh, yeah.
He loves the
All right. Well, you know what? He can come. The race is on Sunday. He can
He's excited for that.
All right. Are you going to go pick him up and bring him back here?
No.
Okay.
No.
Wait a minute. How are we going to do this then?
I don't know. Well, you have to. Olga can. I have to go pick up Natalia and hit the road.
Tell Olga to go get him and bring him here.
Here. Okay.
Yeah. Because we're going to leave from here.
This is the pre-production meeting.
Right. Yes. Build Stuff Live After Show is
Corolla
the name of the show.
Drinks After Show, yeah.
That's called Build Stuff Live After Show is what it says here.
It's the lackeys.
That's the heading, but if I believe...
Well, if it's in bold, I'll just... Yeah. That's
fine.
What I tend to want to say. The Corolla Drinks After Show is that... That's what it's called. It's at 8 p.m. It's on... Sorry. It's on my Facebook, and it's right after the Adam Carolla and Friends Build Stuff Live, which is on Tuesdays. And the podcast, for crying out loud, says here...
Yeah, we're taking Anna Faris down.
She has 1,875 reviews.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have 1,869.
Five-star reviews.
Five-star reviews.
Yeah, on iTunes.
So, far as I can tell, you need six more to tie and seven to pass.
Mm-hmm.
So Anna Faris is a witch who doesn't belong on the ultranet, and we're going to take her down.
Yeah.
All right.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
All right. So listen to For Crying Out Loud Tuesdays, Fridays on iTunes, Podcast One, and then leave the review.
That's right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And say hi to Lynette on CorollaDrinks.com because she's doing a great job. She's run a whole show over there, and
she
likes hearing from you people, yes?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, sweetheart.
Thank you.
Love you.
Love you. Have fun.
Bye.
Be safe. Bye,
I'll
guys.
Try.
Have fun.
Thanks.
Tell old guy, get Sunny over here. All right. It don't work. She'll get over here. He'll get over here.
No.
All right.
One way or another.
Either way, somebody's getting a kick in the ribs.
Yeah, so if anyone wants to know how my life works, it's last night at 9:30, Olga comes into my office, and she looks over her shoulder, and she goes, Sonny has been invited to a basketball game on Saturday, 12:30. Now, I know you want him to come with you this weekend to the track, and he doesn't know. Mm. We're not going to say anything, but I want you to figure it out, so I won't say anything to him. It's like, okay, let me figure it out. I start thinking about it, and I go, screw that. He's with his dad this weekend.
Yeah.
We're going to the track.
Yeah.
And I don't feel guilty because it's not like we're going to the manure farm to make snow angels. We're going to the track to race a Trans Am race. So screw that. I'm not even going to say a word. And then smash cut to the next morning. He knows.
Yeah.
Just
secrets out.
I don't blame anyone. It's just
how it is.
It's just how it is.
Yep.
It's just how it is. So I guess one of the kids One of the main things, I'm surprised there's as much molestation going on as there is with kids' inability to keep a secret.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
If you said to Natalia, look, I let you ride on the back of the scooter with Daddy through the pits, you know, at the track, you know, no helmet or anything, and we had a fun time, right? Right. Now, if you tell Mommy that I let you ride on the back of the scooter through the pits mm-hmm. with Daddy mm-hmm. and no helmet, she's not going to let you come right. to the race anymore. So sure. for your sake and for my sake, let's just keep this our little secret.
Sorry, what'd you say? I was just tweeting about it.
Yes. The point is, she would tell her mom the second she got home.
Yeah.
Again, how could there be so much molestation going on with this gene that kids don't... not being able to keep... And I don't blame them.
He loves running secrets.
It'd be impossible for Sonny to go hang out with his little 10-year-old friends and not find out about this basketball game today.
And if part of the threat was, don't tell anyone or I'll hurt your dad, she'd run even faster.
Oh, done and done. All right, Eric Stone Street is out there. Excited to have him in. Let me take care of a little piece of business, and then we'll get to Eric. We got calls up there, Gary. BetDSI. March Madness, man. BetDSI is having a $1 million bracket contest for our listeners. Every listener gets a free entry. It's a perfect bracket. It's almost impossible. So they're adding guaranteed prizes for best overall bracket. 200% bonus with first time deposits. Use the promo code ADAM25. That's ADAM25. They've been around for over 20 years. They're top rated business on, you see them on sports. If you see a review of them on sportsbook review sites, you'll see just how highly rated they are. Easy to use from anywhere. Great customer service 24/7, 365, live in game wagering. Make plays throughout the entire game. So the thing I love about that is it's for all those years, you just get locked out as soon as the game started. Mm-hmm. But now, I mean, halftime, make another bet. March Madness games, and you can bet them live, man. Do it while they're on after they already started. You get free $25 just for registering, plus 200% bonus on your first deposit with promo code ADAM. 25. That's BetDSI. All right, couple of quick. Someone's taunting me with a left turn. God's honest. They passed legislation in Pennsylvania just saying, "Hey, if you're at an arrow and it's red, and it's a Sunday and there's nobody around, just use your own discretion and turn through it." Just like. You would do at any other intersection mm-hmm. where the light was green and there was no red arrow. Well, there's no traffic. I'll just turn.
Or any other decision in your daily life you make hundreds of thousands of times.
Right. Yes. Literally.
Proceed when safe.
Yeah. Every single time you put your car in reverse and start backing out of your driveway, you're making a decision and it's going to have to involve a complex ballet between your brain and your right and left foot was to hit the brake or to stop or to continue or to signal or whatever it is. The number one traffic city in the world, and this is not something we've considered or what?
Or just interested in.
Yeah. The Mayor Garcetti, mayor of the worst city in the world for traffic, only brings up all he can talk about is homeless, low-cost living for homeless, being a sanctuary city, and second, third-hand smoke.
Yeah.
And maybe closing down check-cashing places that people seem to want to use. But not this. What is that? Yeah. And also, isn't there somebody in his circle that could go, hey, look what they got over here in Pennsylvania?
That's a huge problem, actually the biggest problem. And here's a way to address it.
What is this Pennsylvania
ordinance?
I
love this. It's the Ride on Red Law, Act 101. It says it gives anyone on the road the option to go through red lights as long as they use common sense and caution.
Wow.
We can't be trusted, clearly.
Well, look, please listen, everybody. This has been a part of my life for well over a decade. It shall pass. It shall pass. See, let me explain everything. If it doesn't make sense, it will not last forever. Mm-hmm. two drinking fountains for colored folk and white folk doesn't make sense. It cannot last. It can be around for 40 years, but yeah, it can't
can
be around.
You can have some glory days, but.
Yeah. Salad days we call. And at the meetings, we call them salad days. No, you think of the things that don't make sense. And sometimes it's an 8-track cassette. Like, this thing's bulky. It stops halfway in a song. You have to shove a spoon into it to get it to have enough bread. Like, this is going to be replaced by some technology at some point. And sure enough, it lasts.
At
it has,
some point, yeah.
has a little run. And then there, again, there are ideas that don't make sense. Interracial marriage is illegal. You know, you can't transport a black man can't transport a white woman across state lines or whatever. There's a bunch of rules that you just go, how long can this last?
Yeah, you look back, especially in retrospect, and they're laughable.
They're laughable. Yeah. And there are things that you go, okay, 10 years ago, no dogs at airports. Now people tweet me every day, we had to turn the plane around because someone's service dog bit a passenger, and they turned the plane around. Mm. And it's like, okay. And then the next tweet I got was a picture from an airport where a service dog had yacked all over the floor, right in the middle of the terminal. So now you say to yourself, thanks, Gary, show me.
There it is.
All right.
There's the yak.
Right. All right. Now you go, well, how long can this go on? And you go, well, they're going to have to set some legislation, some rules. They're going to have to make an ordinance, and they're going to have to crack down because we can't have dogs biting people on planes and yakking all over the place or defecating on planes. So it's gotten out of hand. There shall be a law. Mm-hmm. And you've already seen little tweets and bits and pieces where, hey, they're talking about doing this and doing that and doing this. And it will be taken care of.
Eventually.
Now, the thing about sitting at a light on a Sunday when there's no traffic, rotting, waiting to get hit but in the rear by drunk driver because you're just sitting in the middle of a intersection or in the middle of the street, essentially, that doesn't make sense. And eventually, the stuff that doesn't make sense will come around, just like Pennsylvania had the same fucking retard rules we have, which is no turning right on a red. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what time it is. No turning right on a red. And then somebody in Pennsylvania, after a decade of this, went, what the fuck are we doing? This doesn't make sense. Yeah. So they did it. Now, all California wants to do is make laws. So we don't like the idea of taking a law and going, well, why don't we just leave it up to the citizen and let them use their own common sense? Oh, no. That doesn't
chaos.
Sound like we're making a law.
Yeah.
We tell our citizens what the fuck to do all the time. This sounds like we're letting them make up their own mind.
That's antithetical to what we do.
Yeah, we got a job here, and that's fucking boss people around. That's what we do. Oh, and remove money from them while we're bossing them around. That's what we do. But Pennsylvania's figured it out. Now, we shall figure this out as well. We have a retarded mayor. We're going to have a retarded governor who don't give a fuck about their citizens, but we shall figure this out. What I am saying to all of you is please figure out the stuff that shall go away and go full Rosa Parks. Just go, I've been doing this since 2001, maybe 2000. Just fuck it. I'm in the middle of Culver City. Love lines ended. There's a stupid arrow. I can see all the way down Culver Boulevard, and I'm turning. What the fuck do I care? Here's how I know I'm not going to get a ticket. There are no cops. Cops are fucking pussies who hide and wait. They don't just drive around intersections looking to give out tickets. They fucking hide like cowards. You know where the cops are going to be? The cops are going to be on the way to Willow Springs. That's where the cops are going to be, because there's a never-ending... What are you laughing at, Gary?
He's loving this.
Full Rosa Parks got me for some
Thank
reason.
Thank you.
I don't know.
I'm a hero. The point is here's where the cops are. I have to go to Willow Springs. It's 80 miles away. I'm going there and back 3 times over the course of the weekend. It is an endless desert highway, and the weather's perfect. There will be cops waiting for me to go 67 miles an hour so they can write me a chicken shit ticket. The time difference between me getting to Willow Springs in an hour and 10 minutes and me getting there in an hour 40 minutes is going to be the speed that I drive. So I am taking my radar detector, and I'm going to attempt to elude the cops on the way, but my head will be on a swivel, and there's a chance that somewhere there and back, there's a ticket, because the pussy chicken shit money-raising cops will be hanging out there. They are not at the intersections. They're not at the intersections because that is a pond with no fish in it for them. They want to write as many fucking chicken shit tickets to the citizens and wring as much money out of us as possible. That's their marching orders. Their marching orders aren't randomly drive around and look for the way less than 1% who drive through these arrows. No. As a matter of fact, the other day, I had a sheriff coming at me, and he turned right, and I just turned left and just slid right in behind him. He doesn't know what I'm doing. He's not looking for me, and what I'm doing doesn't look unsafe to him. So who gives a fuck? Please do it. Everyone, do it, because you'll feel like an asshole. Think about all these assholes in Pennsylvania. They've been fucking rotting at these lights for a decade, and now somebody said, oh, go ahead and do what you wanted to do anyway. No more lights, no more anything. No, you don't have to get licensed. You don't have to check a box at the DMV. Just go do what you could have done 10 years ago. Would you feel like an asshole?
Yeah.
Okay, so does everyone drive through the red arrows here? Does everyone do it?
No.
It'd be better if they did.
Why not? Why not, Gina?
They're scared.
What, do you do it?
I do it, but I work weird hours. I blow through them.
Do you do it every time?
Yes.
Do you do it during the regular hours?
Half the time.
I'm
hey, that's pretty good. I'm working my way up.
Brian, screaming about this for 15 years.
At least.
Ever got a ticket? Have I ever got a ticket?
To my knowledge, no.
No, never have. Mm. Okay. There's nothing special about me. They just don't. You look in your rearview mirror. If there's no cop in your rearview mirror, you can go do what you want.
But you know what? And I'm gonna shed this skin today. I make that promise to you. Because one of the reasons I don't is because I don't like that we're policing ourselves. Sometimes I do it, and everyone starts honking at me.
Yes, they're called lemming pussy fuckstick cowards. And I'm sure they
should
were
be an
doing
for that.
Figure it out. Lemming
LPFSCs.
Yes. The other thing is, I'm sure in Pennsylvania, a month ago, somebody did this and somebody honked at them. Well, now who's the fucking idiot?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a world where we could get this piece of information to Mayor Garcetti and go, hey, Mayor, how about this?
Here's an idea.
Now.
And you're going to look like a genius.
Does that exist? No, it does not. No, but we'll have another fucking talk about him wanting us to be compassionate about to the homeless.
Thanks for your call, Mike.
Make them a muffin basket and take it to them when they're in the street, when they're done defecating on your lawn. Mike?
Ace, man, get it on.
What's going on? Sorry. You woke hey, something hey, in me.
Hey, Gina, just to let you know as well, I've been running the Turn Arrows for 7 years and have not gotten one ticket yet.
Nice.
Well, to be fair, once everyone starts doing it, then the pussy chicken shit cops will hang out. Mm-hmm. But right now, if nobody's going to do it but me and Mike and Gina during the off hours, well, then they're not going to do it because they're into raping the public. They're not into safety. Go ahead.
All right. So I was wondering if you can tell me who this guy is, because not only did I get honked at, this guy followed me. I have a turn arrow to a left turn arrow to get in my neighborhood, and I literally run it every single day. I'm in a company truck, and so this happened a few weeks ago. The guy behind me, I ran it. The guy behind me not only laid on his horn, flicked his lights, and then proceeded to run the light with me just to follow me.
Street justice,
yeah. Citizens arrest.
Yeah. I like that.
How did you know he was flicking his lights? Was it in pursuit of you? Or cause
he flipped his lights.
That's what I'm saying. Once he turned away.
Oh, he didn't.
No,
he tailed him.
He tailed me. He
ran
me.
Through the
so
light.
He was behind me. Yeah, he was behind me turning left as well. So as soon as he honked his horn, I looked in the mirror and could see him.
Hold on. Let's just be straight here. The light was green. The arrow was red. And when you ran it, he chose to run it as well. To follow you.
100%.
To punish you for running the light.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. To admonish you.
Yeah.
Right. And honked and flipped the things. And how long did this go on?
How to resolve itself?
No, he followed me to my house until I got out of my car, proceeded to come at my car, asked if I thought I was better than everybody.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and psycho. And this guy, I mean, he was literally like trying to puff his chest out at me, trying to fight me pretty much in front of my house over running a red turn there.
That was 100% about his wife, yeah, but he took it out on you.
Yeah, and then when you always bring up wife, I always think of their wife. Like, see, someone's got to live with
this guy. How does the story go 10 minutes later when he gets home? How does the story go? Honey, you'll never guess what I did today.
Well, not only that, but you have to live with this dude. If this is the way he reacts for strangers that don't do anything to him, how does he react when you run into all the stuff you into in a relationship?
I believe Mike, but the guy's opening line is almost out of like a comic book. Like, you think you're better than everyone else? It's like, wow, that's your problem.
I would call the police, Mike.
I had a neighbor that was this way about a head, so I understand it. It's like a crazy narcissist. Hey, Mike, here's the bigger question. Well,
yes, sir.
Or at least a medium to large size one. What I tell all these fucking idiots is there wasn't even an arrow at that intersection 4 years ago, and the intersection's been there for 50 years. Yeah. So what I just did is the exact same thing my dad did when he would take me to school the whole time we lived in this neighborhood, and they put the arrow up 20 minutes ago. Right. How could it be inherently dangerous when it didn't exist for the first 50 years of the intersection?
And you ran it too. Are you better than everyone else?
Well, he's a hero.
That's weird. Yeah. It's a weird disconnect.
He took it one step further as well. Like I said, I was in a company vehicle, and a number blasted on the side of it, and he called my company, and pretty much ratted me out for running the light.
The other, I'd give you a raise, by the way.
Yeah. Did you get any punishment, Mike? Any blowback from the company?
No, my boss is cool, so no punishment.
Also, getting back to our initial conversation with Natalia and the sort of endless amount of time that people have for others and
for
their
conflict.
Look, I get the part where the dog takes the dump on your dichondra lawn that you've been working on for months, and then you're standing out there and the guy starts walking away and you go, excuse you, could you pick that up? Like, okay,
that's reasonable.
That's reasonable, and that's moving some Duke from your lawn. But this kind of stuff that just has no consequence to you.
If Mike drove off in the distance, that guy's life wouldn't be changed in the least.
Yeah,
in the least.
This is like, it's like this guy has to walk up to everyone he sees smoking a cigarette outside of a restaurant and tell them to put it out.
How far does he take it? How far does he take this social justice?
Yeah.
Excuse me, I couldn't help but notice you're smoking a cigarette.
Yeah. Think
your lungs are better than mine?
Yeah.
Got news for you, they're not.
Yeah. I did have a great, you know how I always have a super stern, super fucking angry, whatever voice, always just chambered?
Hey, your dad voice.
We were doing Loveline once at CBS you need to find, Gary, if you can find the sidewalk, God, I'm trying to think Google Earth or something, but map or something, but CBS in Manhattan, God, it's off on, I'm trying to think of what street it's off of. Anyway, Drew and I used to go out there. It's a main scene. They film. They do the news there. They do everything 57. There. 57 sounds about right. We'll see. Anyway, we would go down there and we'd do Loveline from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. because of the time change. Yeah, that's it. And they have this sidewalk out front that's like 15 feet wide. It's not a narrow sidewalk. It's a very wide sidewalk. And I was out there after we did Loveline one night at like 3 in the morning. Or maybe it was during a commercial, like 2:30 in the morning or something. I was just standing outside leaning against the building smoking a cigarette. And a guy came walking down the sidewalk. He was kind of a nerdy guy, a little bit older, nerdy guy. And he started walking. As he was going past me, he was like,
and I said, God.
I just said, get the fuck out of here before I beat your ass. And he just went,
he scurried like a cockroach in the light.
The problem was he actually scurried, except for he worked in the building, which made it uncomfortable because he scurried and then went into the building, and then I had to go into the building afterward. I don't know who the fuck these people are, but I would really like us to all just shame them.
They're like, yes, because they're like floppers in the NBA. Like, you know, you give the guy and he goes, blah, blah, blah,
right,
you
right.
Know, so this is the guy that, you know, overreacts when it's not necessary.
Thank you, Mike. Yes. Stone Street's out there. So let me just blow through these last two and then we'll get on with the show. I want to talk about his new show. Sean, 30, Los Angeles.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, man.
Real quick, before I get to my question, my brother who got me into the show, he runs red lights. I run those left-hand red lights. So you got two more on your side.
Good. Look, look, we live in the worst traffic city in the world, and the mayor doesn't address it. So I'm guessing it's every man for themselves.
You're trying to help.
He's a fucking moron.
Well, I'm just doing whatever I can. He's not interested. I am. So fuck it. We should all just go fuck it. The folks that run the city don't care if we're number one in traffic for the next 1,000 years. So look, fine. We'll just do it ourselves. It's like the garbage men aren't picking up the garbage. I'm just going to burn it in my yard. Like, I got to do something with this garbage. I'll just take it upon myself. Fine. Go ahead, Sean.
All right. Well, I am, me and a couple buddies do a podcast. And we got our first live show coming up on next Saturday.
Feels like a plug.
One plug.
Yeah.
I'm not throwing a plug out there. I guarantee it.
Right.
Adam would hate on my podcast topic anyway.
You watch your tone.
Oh, now I want to know.
Nope.
it's golf related.
Restoring the foreskin. The uncut version.
A golf podcast?
The director's cut.
Yeah. All right. But doing the first live show at a golf course. Next week, wondering if you had any tips on, you know, how to make a good live show.
Don't stand too close to the windmill.
Mm-hmm.
Number one.
Done.
I lost a friend that way.
Is it Trump's golf course? That'd be amazing.
that'd be a whole different podcast.
It would.
I'd do a couple things if I were you. I would ask that you and your co-host stand. I think when you sit, you kind of lose the energy, and it kind of lets people know, oh, I guess we're all just relaxing here.
Too casual.
You know what I mean? I think it's good to be up on your feet, so to speak. You know, you can get your buck slip and have your little games to play and topics to get into. I would also, if I was doing it for the first time, how much time are you doing?
We're doing about an hour.
Okay. Mm. I would toss out a few things at the top that sort of kept people's interest. Like, you're going to have a little putting contest coming up, and we're going to give away a Callaway driver or whatever it is, just to kind of let people know it's not going to just be us standing here doing this for the entire, you know, the next 59 minutes.
We kind of comboed it with a beer tasting event,
better.
We at least got that part.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, to that point.
We're horseshit if we get drunk.
The one thing we do at live shows, we get the audience involved pretty early, whether it's what can Adam complain about, audience questions, and that definitely gets people, you know, interested, loose conversation, ideas, topics. It's if you can get questions or something from the audience, that's a good idea.
And I'm not trying to be a dick. I really am curious because this could hinder the live podcast. Do you have to whisper or at least talk at a lower level?
No, we don't.
You're not like standing out in the middle of like a tournament or something.
No. Okay. We'll be out at, you know, in the banquet room kind of an area.
Oh
then
cut loose.
Yeah, get crazy.
All right, do that. And
all right.
And order. Ooh, I've made up a drink for you. Have everyone order a fuzzy Zeller. That's Zima and peach schnapps.
Delicious.
Sounds a little gay, but I'm into it.
Well, the peach is fuzzy.
Uh-huh. That's true.
And then you got the Zeller, which is the Zima. Zima's right. Coming back.
Yep.
So it's a Zima with a jigger of peach schnapps.
Watch it. Watch it.
Please. Jigger, please. Yeah. All right. It's called a fuzzy Zeller. Right. You got it?
Sounds perfect.
All right. There you go. I just invented that. Oh. All right. Last one. Blake. Denver.
Hey, how 46. Are you?
What's going on?
Hey, guys.
What's going on?
Hey.
You just got out of federal prison?
What?
I swear to God, the FBI kicked in my door full commando style, and I went to prison for unauthorized access to a protected computer.
Blake,
wow.
Can you call back
no
on a different show? I want to spend a good 15 minutes with you.
It's a whole show.
I know. Who's the federal prison?
I mean, guns drawn, not kidding.
Oh, yeah.
No joke. No joke. I was at the FCI in Florence, Colorado.
We should have
what is
call
FCI?
Back.
Next week. Federal Correctional Institution.
Oh, no, but where was the computer?
Oh, the computer. Well, I was working with a physician recruiting company, and it's a long story there, but these guys, you want to talk about lemming fuckstick pussy cowards?
Yeah.
Exactly what they were. Yeah, baby.
What did we figure out?
LFPCs.
Right.
LFPCs.
LFPCs.
Anyway, we were making a lot of money, and it was a legitimate company. We founded it, and the owner came back and wanted the big office and wanted all the happy stuff that always goes with greed.
Hold on. It's LPFSC. Yeah, two sorry. Words.
Lemming fuckstick pussy coward.
No, Gary says it's lemming pussy fuckstick cowards. Sorry.
That's the way it came out.
However, the t-shirt looks bad.
Yeah, okay, you're right.
And so, anyway, my commission kept getting cut and truncated, as did some, and I was an equity owner, as did some other guys. And this spawned lawsuits and a whole bunch of other things. Anyway, I had made, bought a new house and had a new wife and a new baby. And, you know, it was very frustrating.
All babies are new.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, brand new baby. Mm-hmm. And so, just fast forwarding, it got to the point where they were pushing me out the door and they were doing what was called top grading. And I was pissed. And I was working with this other guy and he went in and he copied the database of physicians and clients. Now, none of it was sensitive. None of it was, identity theft based. It was purely a lead list. It was names of physicians and phone numbers and emails. And when they fired the guy that gave me that list, they got the FBI involved. They went to his house. He turtled up and got immunity and said he gave it to me.
Ugh.
Well, they came to my house. And they confiscated everything, and they went through my computers, and I told them, I said, listen, this is what I've got. Well, the judge in her supreme, oh, my God, I can't even go there, but she applied what she called an alternative metric of loss to the value of the data and came up with that this lead list was worth $1.7 million and gave me 30 months.
Oh, my God.
All this for a little industrial espionage?
But you know, Blake,
and my last name is Snowden.
Imagine I love
that.
It.
Uh-huh.
Blake, just hang on because we got to get into this more on another day.
Yeah,
we'll
get
your
number,
stuff like that. But I've talked to Gergis about this a million times, and I've always said this. You know, whenever they ask me about TV producers, I go, they're beavers. If you put them on top of the Sears Tower, they'd start looking for wood to build the dam. That's all they know. It's just, and then you'd go, well, that doesn't make sense. Why? There's no water. And they go, this is what we do.
That's thousands of years of evolution.
Really bad producers just do that all the time. Radio's that way. Well, it's prosecutors worse. And judges and feds and whatever, he'll tell you, Gergis will tell you this all the time. There's just tons of cases where you can just go, okay, come on, just move on. This guy doesn't pose a threat, or we can move on here. It's like, no, this is what we do. We go after people. And the scary part is you and I and everybody else in the private sector are sort of limited by our funds. You know, I can pay Gergis several $100,000 to pursue a case that I'm never going to win, and he'd just tell me that's a waste of your money, and if you got an extra $600,000 laying around, fine, but you're not going to get anything out of this. I have to be discerning. But if Gergis is essentially free to me and I can just go sick him on that guy and sick him on that guy, and if he wins or if he loses, it doesn't matter. I don't pay him and nothing happens to me. They just do what they do. Even in often cases when they don't really even have anything, they just do what they do. And that's the system.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
That sucks.
There's a flaw.
That's very dystopian.
All right. Eric Stone Street's out there. Yeah. Everybody's got a new show. I watched it last night. We'll talk all about it right after this.
Saturdays on Corolla Digital. Reasonable Doubt with Mark Gergis and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, Reasonable Doubt. Best hour on the pod.
Best hour of the week.
I love it.
It's best hour in the pod. I agree. And best hour of the week.
You know why it's the best?
Why?
Because I get to talk to Mark Gergis.
And I get to talk to Adam Carolla. And we cover, I mean, there is nothing we don't cover.
Every Saturday, enjoy it.
Also available at podcastone.com and the Podcast One app. Reasonable Doubt every Saturday on Corolla Digital.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat.
Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
In the spirit of Murrow, Jennings, Cronkite, here's another great moment in local news.
I love this story, Rick. Yeah. This is a special new cast member on Sesame Street, and we're getting our first look at Julia. She's got orange hair, green eyes, and she has autism. Julia appeared last night on CBS 60 Minutes. During the segment, Big Bird was concerned that Julia didn't like him.
That's a great moment in local news. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I saw that. It's the cushiest gig ever for the puppeteer, which is do the Down syndrome puppet sock, because the other person's like, Julia, do you want to play? And then Julia just stands there motionless, yeah, and then Big Bird's like, Julia doesn't always hear you. Like, is it just like on a mop handle or something? It's the sweetest gig ever for a puppeteer. Like,
yeah, they did say part of her character is no eye contact and doesn't respond.
And I feel like I could handle that as a puppeteer.
My sister's a special needs teacher, and she's listening, so I do have to correct you. It's not Down syndrome. It's the puppet's autistic.
Sorry. You're right. Yeah. Hey, your sister's doing the Lord's work,
yeah,
man.
It's rough.
Is she back home doing that?
Or she's in Kansas City, yeah. I always remember, though, thinking about that, like how great it – I love days when I get to go into work and I don't have any lines.
Yes.
And there was a pilot a few years – like, well, a long time ago that I auditioned for where you played a deaf mute.
Mm-hmm. Sweet gig.
And I was like, that would be okay.
Yes.
Well, never have to no lines.
Eric, tell me if I'm making this up. I feel like most actors are bad students – and what bad students hate most is homework, and what memorizing lines is the worst form of homework. Which take this big pile of papers home and memorize it.
Reading is my enemy, and
me
always
too.
Has been.
Yes.
I cannot stand to read. And the idea, I mean, the reason I used to say when I was going to college that I wanted to be a lawyer, and then I found out that being a lawyer is mostly reading. I'm like, okay, well, I'm not doing that. I was a horrible student, and make no bones about how terrible of a student I am. And you are absolutely right. The fact that I have to now highlight things for a living and read them and learn them,
yes,
is pretty funny.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Ironic.
I was not a good student.
And do you guys, and we'll get into the Toy Box in a second, which I watched and really enjoyed last night. I got a little preview of it. That premieres Friday, April 7th, 8:00 on ABC. Do you have the dialogue coaches for Modern Family that follow you around when you're doing a scene that's dialogue laden?
No.
Oh, you got to get one of those. What season are we in?
What is this?
That's a thing?
Oh, I did a sitcom pilot where I literally was in every single scene and talking throughout the entire scene. And I had a dude named Ringy.
Hey.
And Ringy... whose last name was Ringwald, no relation, he explained, but they called him Ringy. And what happens is Ringy follows you around.
Here comes Ringy.
You always know.
And so you're in the bathroom, like, changing in between scenes or whatever, and he's just standing outside the door going, honey, the toaster's broken. Well, why don't you buy a new one? You know we can't afford a new one. Why, well, I'm not made of... Oh, shit. Ringy, line.
I'm not made of money.
Okay, let's take it. I'm not made of money. None of us are made of money. And by the way, who's... And then you walk out of the bathroom, and he's just following you around.
Never heard of this.
Oh, it's odd.
Are you sure they just didn't hire that for you?
Yeah, I think
for a reason.
I think there's a reason. You may be on to something.
I just looked up Ringy's credits. He's actually credited as Adam's special helper. So that is that's the title.
The Toy Box. And by the way, thanks to Eric Stone Street, who had me and the family over to watch a taping of Modern Family.
Have I not been back since you came?
I don't know. Yeah. I'm assuming you were, but I just want to thank you again. The kids, it's their favorite TV show. And And it just goes to show you that I really think good comedy just cuts through. They don't have, you know, it was their favorite TV show when they were 8 years old. You know, a gay couple, an older guy who's married to a younger woman and whatever.
Relatable for nine-year-olds.
So, yeah, relatable to nothing to people in the third grade, and they loved it.
Yeah.
Because it's good. I think kids respond to quality.
Yeah. I've said before, it's really weird that I'm now meeting kids that weren't born when I got the job.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, like your kids are 10.
Yeah.
So they were 2 when I started this.
You do Loveline, you talk to people that were 11 years old, and the guy's just fresh out of rehab.
Yeah.
He's 31 and sleeved up. Oh, there we are on your fake, on the fake sofa. Oh, the real sofa in the fake house. So, the toy box. Now, interesting premise here. It's like Shark Tank for toys and kids.
Essentially, yeah. I guess. Kind of. Just within that, you know, the only one thing's going to win.
It's not straight across Shark Tank, but it's inventors of kids' toys coming in and first selling it to, you know, the guy heads up the Mattel company, mm-hmm. and the girl writes the blog for the Toy Weekly and all the people that are industry people that know all of the stuff. Oh, that's Ralph Lauren's daughter?
Yes, Dylan Lauren.
She owns Dylan's Candies.
Yeah, Dylan's Candy Bar.
Oh, I want to kill her.
You want to kill her?
Oh, well, actually, I want to have sex.
Oh.
Then.
Which order?
Okay. Ooh. Listen, Ralph Lauren. I should get going.
Find me his 5 most valuable cars, and then you'll know why.
Oh, gotcha.
Because he has a Ferrari GTO that's worth like $50 million. What your dad has. Mm-hmm. Dad has 10 cars worth more than $20 million apiece.
Wow. Sonny's going on and on about this all the time. So
yeah. That's her.
That's Dylan Lauren. And then Jen Tan, she's the head of toy and product development at Pixar. And then the other guy's Jim Silver, who's like one of the leading toy experts in America. And so those 3 people are there sort of to set up. So as parents, when you're watching the show, you see that like, oh, okay. So the kids aren't just ruling the whole house. They're making sure the toys are safe. They're, you know, making sure Mattel, it's even viable that this toy that's being brought in is even makeable. So that then those, once you get past the 3 adults in the room, then those toys come to the kids, 4 kids in the toy box where I'm at. And then they ultimately decide which toy wins each episode. And there's 7 episodes with a finale. So there's 7 toys that will vie for the big prize.
So it's like Shark Tank meets Top Chef.
Yeah. And big.
And bigger.
Yeah. Wow. Well, no, I mean the movie Big.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
It's on a bigger scale.
Yeah. But bigger.
Keep going, Gary. Most expensive one's a Bugatti.
Wow.
Estimated worth $50 million.
He's got a car that's worth $50 million?
He has 10 cars that are worth more than $20 million each car. That's my Gary, just keep looking and we'll find this.
That's
and
the Bugatti?
You tell me if I'm wrong. Yes, we're looking at a
Bender. That was gorgeous.
And the show's really satisfying because you have these adults who, there's something about people who invent stuff, which is they're riding on this.
Yeah.
Like they've sunk their last nickel into this. They've been doing
big bucks, some of them. I mean, I can't remember the first 3 people you know, people that come into the toy box, but there's people on the show over the course of the show you'll see that are in 50, 60, 100, 30 year, $1,000 in 30 years of their life.
Oh yeah. It's incredible.
And you've got a 7-year-old telling them their toy sucks.
And the kids, boy, it's also insane that the one kid's 7, you just think he's poised, he's precocious, he has a great vocabulary. Like, I don't know, where do you get these kids these days?
Well, I think Noah, the redheaded kid, he was the apparently kid on Ellen.
Apparently.
Oh, my God, that kid's the best.
Yeah.
And apparently,
oh,
I love the roller coaster.
But he is, Adam, you will freak out at his reference base. His reference base is unbelievable. He can recall things from movies that, first of all, you can't believe that a 7-year-old is watching. And he knows everything. He talks about, like, he says he knows one toy like the back of his hand, and he shows the back of his hand and he goes, like the back of my hand, like this scar, it came from when I had an accident with a water heater. Like,
yeah.
He's just,
he's
a comedian.
He's 7.
A comedian.
Is he 7?
Yes.
77. Yeah.
And off the, one day he was really got upset. He's a very emotional kid. He's like really in touch and really in tuned, and he got really upset because, there was this toy. I can't remember which one it was, but the little boy Toby said, wow, this toy reminds me of the saying, you can't judge a book by its cover. And Noah got so upset, and he started crying. And I'm like, buddy, what's wrong? And he goes, that's what I was going to say, and now I can't say what I wanted to say. And he was – like I had to say, but Noah, don't you understand that that makes you a great comedian? Like that makes right. you really conscious because you realize now that Toby said that. He didn't mean to take your joke, but he did. And now you care so much that you don't want to steal from him. That just makes you a great comedian. He's like, oh, I guess. Like it's unbelievable.
Still stings.
It's yeah.
Absolutely. If you think about where you were at 7, 8, 9 years old, yeah. it was just insane.
He loves pizza.
These kids are.
Yeah. And then Alira is just adorable. She's the little African-American girl. She was on Uncle Buck on ABC. She's the sweetest little girl. And then Toby and then Sophia Grace, who also was on The Ellen Show. She's the English girl who
oh
is a
God.
Pop sensation or whatever.
She is adorable. Yeah. Not yeah. her little cousin Rosie didn't
no,
make it on?
No, she's not on. Just Sophia, yeah.
She's talking about how tough she is and opinionated.
Yeah.
All right. It's a really enjoyable, satisfying show, and it actually, you should just watch it with your kids.
Yeah, it's intended to be a family show, and I never wanted to host anything. I said no to many hosting gigs, but this came along, and the kid element, and just the opportunity for me to be dry with these inventors and sort of be a little bit more of my dickish personality, sense of humor. That opportunity for it to come out was appealing to me. So hopefully, people like it.
I think they will. I mean, it is a kind of what's not to like. I mean, it's just
yeah,
it's cool guys, cool inventions, and then the kids are great.
And then the other thing to mention that really is the cool hook of the show is that when the show's over, the next day the toy is going to be available. So the toy will win, and then you will be able to go online at ToysRUs.com or go to Toys R Us and get the toy immediately.
Well, now I'm not going to watch with my kids. So what's going on in Modern Family?
Well, we don't have a contract.
Ooh, what's that mean?
It means I don't know for sure the show's coming back next year.
We don't, meaning the show or the actors don't have a contract?
Well, we're in negotiations with 20th Century Fox and ABC to figure out if we're doing a season 9 and or 10. The honest answer is I don't know the answer.
Is there a second milestone to hit in terms of syndication? Like everyone says, well, you got to get to, well, it used to be, you know, got to get to 100 episodes. You get 100 episodes, you get syndicated or whatever it is. Mm. But is there, and so Modern Family's cleared that hurdle. Modern Family's syndicated, widely syndicated, and on the air. So that's mm-hmm. pretty damn good. But is there a second syndication
know.
Number that anyone's aware of?
Well, I'm sure 20th ABC, Steve Levitan, and Chris Lloyd all know that kind of stuff. But I don't know what financially it means to ABC and 20th for a season 9 or 10, if it means anything more or less or, you know, what I don't know any of that.
Is everybody – are all the actors on board?
Everybody wants to do 2 more years for sure.
And then it'll seem like 10 years is – Been a good run?
Or? I think everybody kind of, once the show was established as what it was, and which was, you know, sort of a fan favorite and, lucky enough to be critically acclaimed and also be a fan favorite, that it felt like one of those shows like a Raymond, like a Seinfeld, like a Friends, you know, like mm-hmm. a Cheers and Married with Children, that is just a kind of a 10-year show. And I think that's what everyone's goal has been from the beginning, I think, but mm-hmm. I don't know. But yeah, we all want to continue to work. It's the greatest job I will ever have.
Well, it's great that you can have that 8 years in because a lot of people get, I don't know. But I mean, it's really hard to keep 10 people together.
Yeah, but
way.
You saw it.
Absolutely.
You saw that the blueprint of the show lends itself to us all staying friendly and liking each other because we don't see each other except for really one day a week. For sure we have to see each other.
Yeah, we went to a table read and, you know, you can tell when there's tension or fake this or whatever that. I mean, it's usually impossible because when you have this diverse cast, sex and age and everything else, and there's always just one person that's just a fucking pain in the ass.
It's probably me.
That's why I'm looking at you.
Oh, yeah. You are really looking at me.
When I said that.
I need a ringy.
Where's ringy?
Ringy. He controls your assholiness.
There almost has to be one person that's a pain who doesn't think it's them, but seems to go stir things up mm-hmm. all the time. This is, I've met almost everyone in the cast individually, hung out a little. They're all just nice people on their own, and then when they come together, it's simply a group of nice people.
And the kids are great. You know, Ed sets the tone. He's just a normal guy, wants to come to work, do his work, get it over with, and go home and put a pot roast in the crock pot and a bottle of Chianti. I mean, that's really literally what he lives for, is right. to watch a fight yep. on TV, have yep. something cooking with a bottle of wine open.
That's him.
That's it.
And everyone follows his lead, and it's a great show. It's a great vibe, and you could tell because he walked us all through it. And like I said, you can kind of feel it when there's some tension there. But I would assume that everyone wants to keep going, so I'm going to assume it's going to work out.
We all have the best hope for that, and like I said, we are in good negotiation. So none of us think we're just going to disappear like a David Copperfield trick. We all hope that doesn't happen.
I don't want to have you speak about anything you're not supposed to speak about here, but for the actors, is it a favored nations thing, or do you have to go in and make your own deal?
No, that was established in year four when we did the other first negotiation. We were all together. None of us have ever stepped out and said, I'm more important than the other. We all feel we carry the same amount of weight of the show. And, you know, Ty's never gone best leading act comedy actor, when he could make the case that he's on screen maybe more than Jesse or I or Ed. Ed's never gone best leading actor because he's Ed O'Neill. We've all just thought of ourselves as an ensemble in every way. We all feel like we carry the same amount of the show. So that translates into that we all feel that we're basically...
Ty is a great comedic actor who's a little bit unsung. I don't know, maybe he's not unsung, but he doesn't sometimes get mentioned when they're talking about really strong comedic actors, but he is a really strong comedic actor.
Yeah, very dedicated. I mean, that's the thing, you know, when I read articles or when I get forwarded links to people, you know, shitting on the show or crapping on the show, that bums me out is like, I know that everyone, all the writers, I mean, it's not easy to do 188 of anything. You know, and then people are saying, oh, the show's really slipped. It's like, well, you know, yeah, there's going to be episodes that aren't great, but that's every sitcom, every show of all time. Chris Lloyd explained it to me that there's like a third that you're proud of, a third that you would like to do over again, and a third that you're just like, okay.
Yeah.
And that's the best you can hope for.
Yeah.
So this notion that everybody's memory of Modern Family was 100% perfection really sets us up for a false, you know,
yeah.
Expectation.
I love the show. My family loves the show. And I'm just going to say America loves the show. And one last question about that.
Yeah.
I would watch a Modern Family movie. They do it on time to time from some, you know, I mean, you see it with like Entourage, which is different. But then you see, you know, they do it with South Park, different as well. But they do movies out of TV shows.
Yeah.
This seems like it would lend itself to a movie.
Yeah. I mean,
has it been discussed?
I've never heard that discussion. I mean, when we go on those family vacations, that's what it kind of feels like that what we're doing anyway. And there was talk we were going to go someplace this year, but it just kind of snuck up on us all too fast. And we didn't end up going. There was talk we were going to either go to Italy or Paris as a vacation. I keep saying Branson, Missouri, where Cam's from. Yeah. Springfield, Missouri.
Silver Dollar City.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Please go.
You should see the looks I get. When Sophia hears we're not going to
Rome.
Cartagena, but we're going to Springfield, she's like, no. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's so on point. It's so story motivated if we go to Silver Dollar City. Thank you.
That would be amazing. Yakov Smirnov's there.
Andy
Everybody's
Williams.
There.
Tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree.
Jimmy Osmond is there.
The Bald Knobbers.
All the big names.
All the big go-kart tracks.
If you ever say whatever happened to so and so,
Eric Stone Street, let's just
say
it
was in show business, Branson, is where the answer
is where they're at.
Is they get paid?
My buddy Philip the Juggler, moved to Branson and opened for Andy Williams for all those years, and he would. This is years, you know. 15 years ago, I would explain what goes on over there. And he'd be like, Andy Williams has a theater. He does 9 shows a week. We sell out, you know, the early show on Sunday and then the afternoon show. It holds 2,000 people. Like, how does this, whoa, you start doing the math on those places, yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I've never been there, and I don't know if it's bigger
Have
now.
You ever Googled Silver Dollar City?
No.
It is an amusement park in the mountains. It's amazing. You would love Silver Dollar City because there's like iron workers, there's glass blowers, there's saltwater taffy.
Ooh,
look at it.
Right. I like, oh, so it's a kind of large scale Spillikin Corners that they used to have over at Knott's Berry Farm. Knott's Berry Farm would be like, you want to see how horses were shoed back in the day?
Exactly.
And baskets were woven?
Yeah.
And goats were milked?
How trains were robbed?
Yeah, that's that. That's what it'd be. Wow. So it's sort of like Dollywood for...
Well, come on now.
I would imagine Dollywood sort of based Dollywood off Silver Dollar
that's
City.
That's probably true, actually.
Okay. Well, we're going. That's
there was
it.
A ride there called Fire in the Hole. Remember that?
And
it was a roller coaster. it's exactly what it was. It was a redheaded. No, I'm just
fire in the hole.
There it was. Wow.
Indoor
roller coaster. And there was a pudgy that you had to look at. Pudgy was lost or something like that. You had to go on the roller coaster to find Pudgy.
Wow.
Jesus.
I think we could sell at least half a theater for a remote in Silver Dollar City.
Eric,
I'll go. You do a live podcast from Silver Dollar City, bro. I'm there.
Oh, Mike August just heard you. Once Mike August hears this, that's it.
Okay, I take it back.
We're going to book out. Hold on.
I have an impersonation for you to do that I just realized that I could do. Okay, but it's so obscure. So do you go to Disneyland ever?
Of course. Yeah.
Okay, so the Big Thunder Mountain, when you're on the when you're in line for the roller coaster, this is... I'll tell you the story in just a second. But so I was just at Disney World, and I, you know how we are. We hear voices, and then I just mimic them and mimic and mimic them. So this is the voice that you hear before you get on Big Thunder Mountain. It's the wildest ride in the wilderness. And so I kept doing it. I kept doing it. The friend I was with and the guy, they were like, okay, that's enough. And I'm like, no, but it's the wildest ride in the wilderness. And I'm not kidding you. It is tone for tone. Exactly the voice. So we're standing in line. I'm doing it. And then in front, I have a hat on, this hat actually, and glasses. And I'm just standing there. And I'm going, well, everybody, let's get on the ride because you know what it is. It's the wildest ride in the wilderness. And this girl behind me goes, oh, my God, that sounds just like the voice. Do you do that voice? And I turn around. I'm like, no. She's like, that is really impressive. You sound exactly like the person in the microphone. I'm like, well, I'm pretty good at voices. I get on the ride, we take off, and then they realize that it was me that was doing that. But anyway, if you guys ever need me to do, it's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Well, actually, we have been looking for a while for a guy who could handle that chore, but we've never really found anyone who was up to the task.
It's the wildest podcast on the internet.
Well, now, okay. Gary, you have two tasks. How many cars does what's the name have
Ralph
over
Lauren.
Ralph Lauren have over
the articles I'm reading
20 million
approximately. Oh, sorry.
And then you have to find that voice for Thunder
Why
Mountain.
Do you have to find it? It's right here. The wildest ride in the world.
Because Brian will play it 500 times and you will echo it 500 or 499. All right, let's get some news ready, Gina Grad.
Right.
I'll tell you guys about TrueCar. TrueCar, baby. Whether you want to buy new, whether you want to buy used, you go with TrueCar. That's right. They have over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles from 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. So whether you're looking to buy new, whether you're looking to buy used, you get discounts off list price. You get a better buying experience. Somebody just tweeted me yesterday, I think, and said saved, I think, like $2,500 using TrueCar. You see what others pay, and then you lock in your price. You make sure it's fair. They make sure it's fair. They're TrueCar. Connect with a local dealer. Easy, quick, and it's a beautiful buying experience. So whether you're buying new, whether you're buying used, does not matter. You go to TrueCar.com. Find out exactly what everyone else is paying for the exact same car in the exact same time, the exact same place. Lock in your price and go pick it up. It is TrueCar. Gina Grad.
Let's do it.
It's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Hold on. Was that me or was that the guy? Because
well,
I don't
know.
Gina Grad, breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
News with Gina Grad.
All right, wait a minute. Gary has it. Gary has a voice.
This here's the wildest
that's
ride
not it.
In the wilderness.
No, that's not it. No. That's not the right voice.
I have it.
That's, I can do that
one,
too.
That's what Gary does.
Here it is.
It's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Okay, no, hold on. Was that me or was that him? Because I seriously don't know.
That was uncanny. Well, let's hear Eric.
No, that is not the voice, though. That's right? Not the right
well,
one.
Let's you're compare not, them. Let's compare
Eric.
Them.
Let's hear
it's
Eric.
The wildest ride in the wilderness.
All right, that's Eric. Now let's hear the real one.
It's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
All right, it's close.
Very close.
It's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Okay, so see, now I'm really, truly confused. Was I what, not one of those?
No, don't be confused about Brian being a dick.
Okay.
No, let's hear it. Let's hear it. Well, you know what, Eric?
No, Brian, you are starting with a false narrative. That is not the voice I'm even referencing, so you cannot use that to compare.
I'm a professional. I would not just resort to such.
Well, they had a different guy do that one at first.
We'll make it easy. I'll play one of them. We'll see which one, yours or his, and you tell me which
but
one you think
his
it is.
His isn't the one I'm talking about. No,
we're just going to play a new one.
Yeah.
Oh. Brand new one.
So this is, okay, you tell me which one it is.
It's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Or?
No, which one do you think that is, Eric?
I don't know, because that's how good I am.
I'll play it again.
Okay.
It's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
It's a 50-50.
I think it's me.
No, I'm sorry you're wrong. This is you.
It's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Well, like I said, I am a great mimic.
Him again.
It's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
I've said it once,
and
I'll say it
it's
again.
It's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Nobody does Pappy Parker doing himself better than Eric Stone
Thank
Street.
You.
And I know you've heard it all a dozen times. All right. Let's move forward.
Find
here.
The real one.
I got it.
No,
it's the
don't.
Wildest ride in the wilderness.
All right. Well, an Israeli teenager who also has American citizenship was arrested on suspicion of using advanced technology to carry out more than 100 bomb threats on Jewish institutions in the United States, that's according to the Jewish Times of Israel. Israeli police said the teen has been the subject of months-long undercover investigations of anti-fraud units, the FBI here, organizations all around the world. He even caused some planes to make emergency landings.
He's
it's
Jewish.
It's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Now, that was Eric.
Yeah.
Nope. Right.
He's Jewish.
Sorry, that was you, actually.
He's from Israel.
Well, he's Israeli with American citizenship. I would assume he's probably Jewish.
And he's making all these threats against Jewish targets?
It gets crazier. So the army refused to draft him after finding him unfit for service, which almost never happens in Israel because you go right into the army. His father has also been detained on suspicion that he knew about his son's activities. But Brian, here's where the plot twists. The attorney told the court that the teen has a brain tumor and has been homeschooled since about 14 years old, and said that has affected his behavior.
I was wondering why I was involved in this. Yeah, that would affect his behavior, depending on where it is.
Did you make a lot of threats to Jewish community centers when you found out?
Well, what do you consider a lot?
Yeah. Nine is not really a lot.
One.
Yeah.
One or more?
Any.
Yeah. So that's the defense they're working with now.
Okay.
That he had this high-tech equipment that he was calling in bomb threats in Kansas City and all over the country, in Europe and New Zealand.
Like the Twinkie defense.
Delta.
That's the wildest legal defense in legal history.
Now that was the Disneyland guy.
Yeah.
Ralph Lauren.
Oh, boy.
Has about 40 cars for over $400 million.
Jesus.
So we didn't get our exact answer, but he has.
That's
pretty
good.
By the way, this is rounding down. I'm telling you, that's $500 million worth of cars.
That's insane.
I want to be his daughter. All right.
Sorry. You want to be his daughter?
Yeah, this guy's got a brain tumor, and it's making him do wacky things.
Yeah.
That's because that's when I went, well, he's from Israel. Why is he doing this? And there's your answer.
It does happen. Well,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, there are depending on where the tumor is and what part of your brain it's compressed as it grows.
Well, it seems like by that picture it's in the front of his head.
Yeah. You just want to show it.
Yeah.
As it grows, it squishes, you know, your brain. There's only so much displacement in there.
See, this is very House to me. This is very like sort of sci-fi medical mystery. Mm. So it's not
everyone, obviously. Right. When it grew in my head, it made me limp and, you know, talk funny. But this guy's, you know, bombing Jewish targets.
So you were never able to recover?
No. Still suffering the effects.
Yeah. Well,
don't you push that button, Brian. No.
Donald Trump sat down for an interview with Time magazine about the way he deals with the truth and with falsehoods. Here's a couple of the highlights. When responding to the remark about him not believing the intelligence community when they said his tweet about Obama wiretapping was wrong, Trump said, quote, he inherited a mess with the Middle East, North Korea, jobs and trade, and added, quote, hey, look, in the meantime, I guess I can't be doing so badly because I'm president and you're not.
Oh, my God. You're not. I think you had him at I'm president.
Yeah.
Because they don't have dual presidents.
Really, like, everyone else is not.
You are ruled out. Yeah.
You are everyone else. And you're not.
It was very Chevy Chase of him, don't you think?
Yes.
I'm Chevy Chase and you're not.
Oh, yeah. That from his old sign off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it feels a little derivative.
Also, Chevy Chase used to do something weird, which is, I think it was Chevy Chase. He would do Gerald Ford and not do his hair or makeup or anything, or even the voice. He was just Gerald Ford.
Yep, he just fall down. He was that clumsy.
It was the weirdest SNL thing ever because these people, you know, transform themselves into Hillary Clinton or into Trump or with Baldwin or whomever or Sarah Palin, whatever. But he would just do Ford. He's a tall, skinny, young.
Was it more performance art, or they just hadn't thought to put him in makeup?
Well, because Gerald Ford's whole notion was he fell.
Yeah, he's
so clumsy. They just went for the clumsy aspect of it.
Also, I have thoughts. SNL in those days was more
Second City.
Yeah, was more improv from the theater.
It was like avant-garde.
Yeah, they weren't so much into the makeup and the this and that, and the costumes, the elaborate.
Which is the difference between the Second City and the Groundlings, for the record. I mean, Second City is very much, I mean, they perform in suits and don't really do a lot of hair and sort of no wigs, really, and the Groundlings is props and
if you
hair.
Go backstage at the Groundlings, there's, you know, Hawaiian lays and hula skirts and gorilla masks. Yeah, it's all back there.
So the next president was Jimmy Carter. Gary can probably find a picture of this. Dan Aykroyd did Jimmy Carter with a mustache. Shave. Like, hey, Dan, you're going to be the president for the next 4 years.
Very
shave the mustache. He had the mustache as Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
He had the accent, but he was like, hi, I'm Jimmy Carter, and he had the mustache, and it's just his hair.
And the mustache disappeared.
It's how powerful the stash was in the 70s, though, that a dude would not
even
part
in that lifestyle.
With it. Yeah.
There he is. That's Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't see a stash.
Yeah. It's crazy. But again, coming off of Chevy Chase playing the balding, 60 years older Gerald Ford, with no attempt they didn't put any talcum powder in his hair to gray it up. Like, just nothing. It was just Gerald Ford.
And people liked it and accepted it.
It worked.
That's all they had.
Well, you just fall over the desk and everyone start laughing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
I wish you had a monitor over there.
Oh. Yeah. That's a good... Actually, hey, Gary.
Oh, no.
What,
before the show's over. No.
For the Build It Live.
Well, you're right. No. The guests sit where you're sitting and oftentimes have to sort of crane around and they pull themselves off the mic. Yeah. Let's remind me. I'll put a monitor.
I have a 35-inch outdoor TV that I'm not using, you guys can have.
Really?
Yeah, it's Sunbright.
Nice. Sweet. Nice. Why aren't you using it?
I upgraded.
Oh.
And I don't have a place for that other one.
Okay. We'll take it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have it delivered.
That's
loving
nice.
You.
Well, researchers have developed a smartphone app, an accessory that costs less than $5, and it can determine your sperm count with 98% accuracy. Much like home pregnancy tests once approved by the FDA, men will be able to determine their sperm count in the privacy of their own home in a few seconds. Here's how it works. The system works with an optical attachment to which the semen sample is located for analysis. The kit has a little microchip with a capillary tip and a rubber ball you can squeeze to absorb the sample. This connects to a user-friendly app on your smartphone that walks you through the entire process. The resulting scores are based on several criteria like sperm concentration, sperm mobility. The device is still in development, but they are doing their best to get it out there and have it approved by the FDA.
It's the wildest ride in the wilderness!
But hold on, I have a question about that.
Do you... So you don't have to masturbate?
No, you do.
Oh, you do. Okay. Because I'm like, I don't want to do this test.
It's also going to be funny, too.
It's a huge part of the test.
Well, no, I thought something went in there.
No, I think you masturbate onto
your phone?
A surface.
You put it on your phone?
I thought you did on your phone, too. But
honey, have you seen my... Sweetie, it's stuck to the side of your head. Oh. Yeah, I was looking at the front and the entranceway by the charger.
I'm so out to lunch these days.
I'm sorry. Is it what side of the head? Other side of your head, sweetie? Okay, yeah, I didn't have my earpiece.
Feeling around for it would be easier than asking me.
Yeah.
So any surface, and then you have like the little baby aspirator that sucks it up, and then you put it on the tip, And then you, your phone tells you how the swimmers are doing. So there you go.
Anywho.
2017.
It's a great world.
Yeah. I had my sperm. Brian, you had your sperm tested,
right? I did.
Right? Yeah. I had mine tested.
I had crazy tests.
Yours was on a race.
Yeah, Jimmy and I had a race, and I beat him.
Oh. Your sperm beat him?
Well, I beat him in producing the sperm.
And beating it.
By just a number of seconds.
Was this a man show thing?
Yeah. He claims it was a tie because I didn't take time to get dressed before I came out and sort of rung the bell. He put himself back together and then rang the bell sort of thing. But if he had run out with his pants around his ankles like me, he claims we would have tied. But later on, then when the sperm was tested, I think he had a higher count, but mine was more mobile.
Yeah, more motility.
Yeah.
As they say.
Yeah. So
yeah, you're like the new military of America.
Yeah, like a Navy SEAL.
You're like
team.
A SEAL.
Yeah, that's what I was
He's
explaining.
Like ground war from World War. Yeah. He's the Big Red One in World War II.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of guys, lot of stuff.
You're a specialized unit, extraction force.
You're SEAL Team 6.
Yes, yes. Oh, there we are in the
SEAL Team 4.5.
Yeah.
You can watch it if you want.
No, I don't have to watch it. We're good. All right, one more. What do you got?
Well, according to a new surprising study, staring at breasts helps guys live longer.
That's why you took your jacket off.
It is unfortunate coincidence.
A week and a half to my life.
This podcast goes on for 75 years.
Right.
I didn't even notice you had breasts until now.
Yep. Scientists analyzed a bunch of research done through the years and found that looking at women's breasts help guys create a positive mindset. These pleasant emotions end up having men make better decisions about their health, leading to a longer life. But to be fair, the scientists found that men who look at cute animals also enjoy the same benefits. So take your pick.
I always have ugly boobies, but I always picture the conversation at the lounge at the testing college and the clinic where the one guy's like sitting there and he's just like bags under his eyes and he's emaciated. And it's like, what are you doing? I'm doing a thing on sleep deprivation and how it's basically the effects that nicotine and sleep deprivation have on have on your circulatory system. So what's going on? I've been up for 4 days just smoking, and I'm out of my mind. What happened? Well, can't you take a nap? No, they don't. They don't.
Part of the study.
Yeah, they play super loud. They play ranchera music, and then I just stand there and smoke. I'm like, what are you doing? Because you look pretty well-heeled. I'm staring at boobies. How's that work? Well, they're trying to figure out if that's good. Is that?
Yeah.
We need a test. You need a test for that? For boobies?
Yeah.
Occasionally look at kittens and puppies, but mostly boobies.
You seem like you're in a pretty good mood.
I'm in a great mood. I've just been looking at boobies for, what is it? Russ, how long have we been here? About 47 hours so far.
Just boobies.
Yeah.
Because I've been walking in place, smoking cigarettes and listening to ranchero.
Oh, they let
music.
Us smoke in there, too. Yeah, we can smoke and drink as long as we're looking at boobies. We can do anything else we want. Yeah.
Hey, they're not letting us eat because they think that if we eat, we might fall asleep. We're not allowed to sleep.
Yeah, well, we can't touch the boobies is about the only thing. But we can.
I've been kind of cheating because they gave us a saline solution to put in our eyes because everyone's eyes are drying out, but I've been drinking it.
Oh,
I got caught. And
sorry.
The guy slapped it out of my hand and put me in a dog crate.
I can see if we got any more room in my test, but I think we're...
Ironically, could you see?
Yeah. You know, I can see.
Yeah, because my eyes are dried out. I'm not blinking intentionally. My lids are basically welded to the top part of my eyeball anymore. They took the saline solution away. Did I say I'm so sleep deprived. I can't. Was I telling you about that story?
Yeah, you were. I was still thinking about boobies.
But. Okay. So last time I was in here, they wanted to talk about a guy, and they wanted to know the dude I was talking to in the rec room. He was participating in a test on the effects of cocaine on a yacht.
Yeah, that was me, bro.
Was that you?
Yes. Wait, you really are deprived.
Dude.
Yeah,
wait,
you gotta get on the good list of tests.
Hold on. I was... Okay.
You know what we're doing next month?
Huh?
The result of cocaine off boobies.
Doing coke off of boobies.
Yeah,
well,
you gotta get in that
sense.
Group.
Okay. I had a thing about, okay, here's the test I was involved with. I was involved with the effects of a corn cob up your ass while riding a Schwinn. That was the first one I got involved with. I don't know why I volunteered with that. I feel like I was just trying to help people.
I don't know what they were trying to prove with that, but yeah.
I also had one of how glass shavings affect a meatball sub.
Yep.
That was a bad plan.
I feel like that answer's right out there for everybody to know.
Well, you'd think it would just be obvious, but obviously you have to do the test and crunch the data. Okay, the other one was like, how many times could you be hit with a flip-flop before your skin broke?
Okay, honest question, how many is that?
Well, we got to be on. I'll pose this. Orbital socket, elbow, or butt cheek, because it's varied. It varied a lot. Orbital socket went a lot faster than you'd think.
Yeah.
Whereas the elbow, I mean, that thing went to like 1,800 pops with that flip-flop.
Elbows are tough.
Yeah. Well, so, hold on. You're getting paid to stare at boobies right now.
Yeah, well, I did the coke on the yacht, the effects of coke on a yacht. I'm doing the boobies right now. Next week, I think my group, we're kind of like a loop group. It's me and a bunch of my friends. We just go in and we do these tests.
Uh-huh.
And then next week, we're doing coke off boobies. My friend did one a few years ago, the effects of just getting oral sex repeatedly over the course of 24 hours, like what that does to you by multiple girls.
Uh-huh.
So what they would do is we had to lay in there in this bed, really super comfortable bed.
It was an
amazing bed. And then a girl would come in.
I haven't slept in 77 hours.
Oh, man, you got to get in our group, man. We do way better tests than you.
Well, we got one coming up. Which is how hot when you let's just say you put like cocoa in a microwave.
Yeah.
At what point does the skin come off your dick if you stir the cocoa with your dick?
Oh, man. Like,
at what temperature?
Have you already signed the paperwork to do that test?
Well, I was just pretty much in with everything. I didn't know there's other tests going
on. Okay, well, you do now, so maybe get out of that test.
I got to get out of this test, man.
Yeah,
this is bumming me out. I didn't know. You guys go down to the harbor and everything, or do they simulate a yacht
here? We have a simulated yacht, yeah. It's a simulated deal, but it's a great yacht.
But it's not simulated oral.
No, no, it's real oral.
Wow.
Constant oral.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's constant, varied oral.
Okay. I'm going to go back get in the dog crate.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'll catch you at the next break, man.
Yeah, cool, man. Oh, don't tell anyone, but you're going to finish that Jell-O, or?
Actually, I was, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go in the crate.
Yeah, see you, man.
Yeah. I guess they're going to, there's also a test they want to do on the caloric and nutritional value of your own toenails. We're going to be involved with that one as well.
Man, you have real bad taste.
It just always kills me that they have the craze span in these, and there's some that it's like, I would sign up for the boob staring thing in a second. But the sleep
deprivation, what you end up with.
Not so much, yes.
I had so many friends in college that would sign up for these studies.
Got their boobs stared at?
Yes. Oh. And to sign up for these studies so that we could go on vacation or go to, you know, Florida or whatever. And so, like, for 6 days, they keep you on Ritalin and feed you grilled cheese. Like, literally.
Really?
Yes. They were always Ritalin studies in that time period.
That's their hand of me.
Yeah.
All right, let's bring it home, baby girl.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. Gina
Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, smart mouth. No need to experiment or do any testing with that. All the data has been crunched. The jury's back, and the judge has rendered a decision. It works, baby. Smart mouth. It's the only activated mouthwash clinically proven to instantly eliminate bad breath and prevent bad breath from coming back for 12 full hours. Two separate liquids combined. And they activate, and they make zinc ions that stop bacteria from producing sulfur gas for 12 full hours. Nothing ruins an intimate moment. Say you're staring at some boobies, and you want to take those boobies back to the bachelor pad and stare at them even closer, but you got that dragon breath. Let's not do that. Let's use Smart Mouth next time you're out drinking, smoking, getting high, all the stuff you do when you're having a good time that ruins your breath. You use Smart Mouth before heading home, before heading out. Smart Mouth. And you do it before you go to bed. You don't have the morning breath. SmartMouth.com is where you go. Or you can go to Walmart, Target, Walgreens, CVS, wherever you shop. Get yourself some Smart Mouth. All right. Me and Dennis Prager, No Safe Spaces. You can download that at iTunes, Amazon, AdamCarolla.com. Check all that out. My movie, The 24-Hour War. You can get a chassis, 2S's and a Y.com, if you like. And go to AdamCarolla.com. If you want to be part of the Spike Show, be in the audience, you got a question, whatever, just go to AdamCarolla.com, figure it all out. Eric Stone Street.
I'm told that if...
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm told that if you want to
come and ask a question. You get VIP treatment and a VIP seating area and all kinds of stuff. Oh, so okay. Email CorollaQuestions@gmail.com.
So if you want to be in the crowd and ask a question, we'll do that too. The Toy Box. It premieres Friday, April 7th, 8 o'clock on ABC. And if you want to say hi to Eric, his website, ericstonestreet.com is where you go.
Have you ever been to ericstonestreet.com? It's a time capsule. Literally, the last time I updated it was when I got Modern Family.
And well, then go to...
Congratulations.
Things are going really great in 2006.
Shoot him a tweet at Eric Stone Street.
Yeah, yes. Instagram is where I'm mostly at.
And check out my beautiful wife, Lynette, at the Corolla Drinks After Show at 8 o'clock on my Facebook Live. That'll be after my show, which will be live on Spike at 7 o'clock. All right. And for Crying Out Loud podcast as well. And use the promo code at Corolla Drinks Sexpo. Get 10% off your orders for 3 bottles or more. So, until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Lynette and Eric and Gina and Vault saying mahalo.
It's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail if you like. Phone number is 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take a Knee, the motivational and inspirational podcast. Click the link at adamcarolla.com. Gina Grad is on Morning Radio, 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles, California, 5:30 to 9:30 a.m. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts. Mangria events, Endless Rant, IPA, books, movies, and more. Go to adamcarolla.com.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.